This hour of gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
You're listening to Gameplay with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Cause. Show is always brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And the hard thing when it comes to talking about the Raptors, and the Raptors are playing tonight, and the Maple Leafs are back, they're playing tonight against Columbus, is it is right and it is correct to look at what happened yesterday and be critical of Masai Ujiri. The team is in the mushy middle. The team may not be as good as that 48-win season from last year. Jakob Poeltl now has the leverage on another contract because the team gave up a top-six protected pick. The Raptors could be very soon in trouble with guard depth. We have no idea what's going to happen to Fred VanVleet or Gary Trent Jr. Also, yes, you can wait to the summer. You can wait to the draft. You can have more time, assess. But just know that you will never get as much value for these players. With each day that you pass, the value of these players goes down a little bit because the team that is trading for a Gary Trent Jr. and OG Anunoby, they don't get those players for as long. And those players, like OG, their next contract is up sooner rather than later. So whatever happens, if any of these guys ever do get traded, you're not going to get as much back in the draft as you would yesterday. But then the other side is Masai Ujiri gets the benefit of the doubt. And it doesn't mean you can't be critical. It doesn't mean you can't bring up here are the red flags. But it was funny there, producer Josh. I'm hearing Masai yesterday talking over and over, I trust these guys. I love these guys. These are great guys. And he's talking. And I'm like, wait a minute. You sound like Kyle Dubas, except for you have a resume of winning and Kyle Dubas doesn't.
Very similar. Going through both of those pressers yesterday, there was a lot of identical lines. So starting with the Raptors, it was like, we believe in this roster. We're still fighting for the play-in spot, and we're not willing to give up a player for a large name and all the draft capital that we have, and vice versa. Like, all these rumors of three picks for OG Anunoby, the Clippers wanted Fred VanVleet. Masai Ujiri put all that aside and says, we're sticking with the core, and we'll give you an answer at the end of the season. And as for the Maple Leafs, similar conversation there. I'm not giving up a Matthew Nyes type player. I'm not giving up a high draft pick for a rental at this point because we trusted both of our rosters. Both in different sides of the story. Yes, you can make the point for Raptors are the winning team, winning the championship a couple of years ago. Maple Leafs haven't won a round. So there are two different angles, but primarily the same message there, Matty.
Yes, the messaging is the same. The messenger is very, very different. And that's sort of the point to all of this. And yeah, we'll get into it. We got Rick Bucher coming up at 2:20 from Fox Sports 1. And just excellent when it comes to all things basketball. So he'll join the show and we'll get into it. How shocked to see the Raptors didn't make a move. Are the Phoenix Suns now the obvious number one contender in the West? I think you can push back on that. And we, of course, will talk about the Lakers. But let's get to it, everyone. Let's get to my opening thought.
Time now for Matt's opening thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
And here we go.
I mean, it's really nothing more than a self-absorbed monologue, a chance for Matt to rant about something and pretend he's a serious radio personality instead of a gas bag. Let's face it, he stole this idea from Dennis Miller.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Oh my God, this Super Bowl is so close. On FanDuel, the Eagles are favored by 1.5. And thankfully, we've had plenty of close Super Bowl betting lines going into the big game. KC and San Fran, not that long ago. Mahomes was favored by 1.5. It was a close game until near the end when the Chiefs won 31-20. New England and the Rams. Pats are favored by 2.5. Horrible game. That's how the Patriots went 13-3 and ruined football for a lot of people. Seattle was favored by 1 against the Pats, but lost 28-24 in that goal line interception. Maybe the craziest one, Peyton Manning and the Broncos were a 1-point underdog against Seattle. Oh, my God. How is Peyton Manning an underdog? Well, it was the right line. Seahawks won 43-8. So after 2 weeks of deliberation, wait a minute. We're going to switch this up because normally on Fridays with producer Josh and I, we do our pick and our prop. We're going to combine it. My opening thought is my pick. So producer Josh, hit the sting.
Time for Maddie and Josh to get into this week's pick and prop.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
Deep ball it is. And it is caught for the touchdown. A.J. Brown.
Show me the money. I need to feel you, Jerry. Show me the money. Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
Travis Kelce with the touchdown on fourth and one.
This is all Kelce and Mahomes.
The big game is here. Time for the Super Bowl edition for Game Play's Pick and Prop, featuring the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles.
After 2 weeks of deliberation, I'm going with Kansas City. I get 1.5 points, but of course, with a spread that close, obviously I got them winning the game. If you would ask me moments after the AFC-NFC Championship game, I was all over Philly. And there's a lot of reasons why you should take Philly. The difference in sack rate between Philly and the number two team, the Patriots, is the same as the number two team, Patriots, and the 29th ranked team. It's incredible. Their defensive tackle, Jason Hargrave, has better pass rush numbers than Chris Jones. The team is 16-1 with Jalen Hurts as a starter. When the Eagles have faced playoff teams, they've gone 7-1 against those teams. Plus 115-point differential. 51 points better than any other team. Their one loss to a playoff team was Dallas in Week 16. And that's at Gardner Minshew at quarterback. But in the end, I am taking Kansas City. And yes, Philly has so many potential advantages, but KC is close. Eagles have the best offensive line. Chiefs are like second. Chiefs, their quarterback's nearly as good. They're secondary. Like, yes, Philly, you would have it number one in almost in every position. But it's not like Kansas City is anywhere like 22nd. So it's close. Then you get to the big question of how will the Eagles' defense look going up against Patrick Mahomes? Yes, they went 7-1 in playoff teams. That's Daniel Jones three times. That's busted up quarterbacks in San Fran. It's Cooper Rush one of those times against Dallas. They only really faced one great quarterback, and that was Aaron Rodgers. He got hurt. Overall, the Eagles' defense has faced the second easiest schedule of opposing offenses. This is not taking anything away from Philly. That is a damn good defense. That is a dominant defense. They win the Super Bowl, and they go on a run. They're going to get to be able to hit some legendary status. But maybe I just need to see it. They haven't seen a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. They haven't seen anything close to that, with apologies to Dak Prescott. Also, there's the one stat that I've been talking about. I've been sort of mangling it. But what is super cool about the Chiefs' offense is they are both safe and they are explosive. I'll explain. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to do a couple stats. I'll keep them minimal. Mahomes' average pass traveled 7.13 yards past the line of scrimmage. That's 23rd in the league. So you go, oh, he's Captain Checkdown. He's becoming Kirk Cousins. He also had a career low for the amount of passes that traveled at least 20 yards downfield. It's like, oh, KC offense. How could it be neutered? Didn't Mahomes just win the MVP? He did. Do you know what Kansas City also did this year? They had almost 2,900 yards after the catch of the regular season. No team has done that in the last 15 years. No team has schemed it up where guys are open, guys are making the catch, and then guys are gashing secondaries deep. No one did it better than Kansas City. Mahomes had 73 completions of 20-plus yards. That is 16 more than any other quarterback. That's 15 more than he had last year with Tyreek Hill on the roster. So Kansas City can be explosive and safe all at once. So what does that tell you? It means they can handle the pass rush of Philly. It means that even if Patrick Mahomes isn't 100% healthy, if that ankle is still bothering him, They can win. They can move the ball. They can score with safe plays that become very dangerous. So in the end, I will take the better quarterback. I will take a coach that knows how to dominate when you give an extra week. So I'll take the better quarterback. I'll take the better coach. I'm going to take Kansas City. They end up winning a thriller 30-28 over the Philadelphia Eagles. And that is both my opening thought and my pick.
I'm finished.
But now we move on to the second part of picks and props. And by the way, good job by you, Josh, just working all the different elements and buttons there.
Much appreciated. So first off, anytime.
Yeah. Good job. Before we get to your prop, your thoughts on my Super Bowl pick.
So before we get to these props, I was gonna put my pick out there as well, and it's the exact same as yours. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl on Sunday and take down those Eagles. I've been making the case the entire year, and a lot of Eagles fans that I personally know deny, and they say, Josh, how do you say that? And I say, the Eagles have not played a quarterback to the stature of Patrick Mahomes. It's truthful. Yep. If you go down the schedule, you go down the list, they have not played a guy like him. And I think with how many doubts people had against the Kansas City Chiefs this season, is miraculous and remarkable that they've gone through them. Mahomes, number one in passing yards. Chiefs, number one in the AFC. So he's mirrored all of them and put them on full scale, and he's back there again. And I just don't see him losing another Super Bowl again. I don't think there's going to be a repeat of that Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl game. I think with the likes of Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, Jerick McKinnon, the lineup goes down. You could make the case, and I'm going to say this in my props right here, that the Eagles' pass rush is pretty good. So there's the only, there's one of the only elements that could go towards the Eagles' favor.
So, but that's why I like the fact that this is a team in Kansas City that can throw the ball quickly and can throw the ball where it's not going that far downfield. But then all the yards after catch is truly remarkable.
And it could truly come down to coaching. And if you want me to point my finger at one, I think it's going to go towards Andy Reid, who actually got rid of Nick Sirianni off his line was back in the day, and now they're going head-to-head in the Super Bowl. So as for my props, Matty, I'm going to go, it's the Super Bowl. So I did one from both sides. On the Eagles side, A.J. Brown over 72.5 receiving yards on FanDuel. We're going to have Aaron Schatz on. And he made an amazing point that the Chiefs rank 31st against WR1s, allowing an average of 81.2 yards per game. So, if we're going off averages, that means he's going to smash the total. Brown's 88 receiving yards is averaged more. It's 16.5 more. So that's already a good sight. In 10 of 17 games this season, Brown has hit the over on his receiving yards prop. Eagles are making it happen on both sides of the ball. A lot in the passing game, averaging 6.1 offensive yards per play. Jalen Hurts, if they're going to try to win this game and they're going to put it all in full throttle, I'm going with the WR1, A.J. Brown. I expect to bounce back. Only 50 receiving yards in his first two playoff games here, but if there's one guy that's going to go off, it's going to be A.J. Brown. They absolutely
need him. They didn't need him in the first two playoff games. They were just running the ball.
It was running the ball.
Leads.
It was both
they
blowouts, right?
They didn't need Brown. All right, so what's your KC prop bet?
KC prop bet. It's the guy you just honed on. Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 touchdowns, minus 188 on FanDuel. Mahomes has thrown 2 touchdowns in each playoff game. Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster, Isaiah Pacheco, Jerick McKinnon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire are all passing threats within the pocket for Mahomes. And much like the 2019 Super Bowl, 2020, Philadelphia does pose a defensive game. I got to be honest, they really do. But Mahomes, he might pick him apart. So I like the passing attempts as well. And they're going to go in the end zone. And this total, Matt, it's going up, 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 and up. It's at 51.5 on FanDuel. So that means Vegas thinks there's some touchdowns here. So I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 touchdowns, minus 188. And to recap, A.J. Brown over 72.5 receiving yards at minus 110. I am locking these in as we speak.
Very nice. My favorite prop bet is both teams to score 20 points or more. That was the bet that I did earlier in the week. Good job by you. So we are both on Kansas City.
We are.
That should make, both on Kansas City. And it was tough. As I said, At the beginning, 2 weeks ago, after the championship games, I was picking Philly, and then just taking the time looking at the numbers and that, and you know, the safe slash explosive offense of Kansas City is kind of what put me over the top.
It's hard to go against the first in total yards and first in passing yards, Matty.
Yep. Rick Bucher, NBA analyst with Fox Sports 1, is going to join the show next. We'll get his thoughts on Durant to Phoenix, Kyrie, that bet by Dallas, and why the Raptors pretty much didn't do a thing. And we'll get into that next.
This is Gameplay on TSN 1050.
See, that's a cool G, Daddy O. Now you gotta let it ride.
Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
They're playing basketball.
Ah, it's been ages since I heard this song. Welcome back, everyone. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. I am thrilled that we got Rick Bucher on the show from Fox Sports 1. Also, check out the podcast he does, On the Ball with Rick Bucher, which always goes deep dives on big subjects. Rick, thank you so much for joining the show today.
My pleasure.
By the way, have you ever experienced this where the Super Bowl is 48 hours away and yet the NBA still is kind of owning all the headlines?
Yeah, you know, it's a recent phenomenon for sure. I believe when Anthony Davis, when there was rumors of Anthony Davis going to the Lakers.
Right.
That was the first time I remember, because I was actually at the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. And I was blown away because I've never experienced that before, where the headline, the NBA was grabbing that territory in sports. I had never, that had never happened. And I think that the NBA discovered something. They were like, hey, you know what? Transactions keeps us in the eye of the public and has us creeping up. Now, obviously, viewing wise, the NBA isn't close to catching the NFL, but when it comes to social media and general attention, I believe that's where they have they've made a lot of ground, and I also feel like the NFL took note of that, and I think you've seen a little bit more movement and a little more talk on that level in NFL circles. I mean, when did we ever talk about like Aaron Rodgers going someplace, or the Devontae Adams, or Tom Brady? So
yep.
Maybe it's not intentional to try to draw eyeballs and all of that, but there's no question that player movement has captured the imagination of sports fans who may not necessarily even watch the sport.
Well, the opposite of player movement is pretty much what the Toronto Raptors did. We're all waiting. We're all waiting for a move. All the American media was focused on the Raptors for the first time since Kawhi was here. Are you shocked that the Raptors didn't, and apologies to Jakob Pertl and the wonderful nation of Austria that makes sneaky good red wine. Don't just focus on the white. But no offense to Jakob Pertl, but were you shocked that the Raptors didn't make any big moves?
Well, you're asking me that now after the trade deadline and after having had some conversations. If you had asked me in the midst of things happening, or say 12 hours before, say Wednesday, said, hey, you know what? The Raptors aren't going to do anything other than go get a big man. I would have been somewhat surprised. But what I've gleaned from the conversations is that what Masai wanted to do, there's two things he wanted to do. One, he wanted to gather as much information as possible about who is out there and how teams feel about their particular players and what the possibilities are. And he was able to do that because he created this whole scenario, and the media bought into it. Like, all roads lead through Toronto for a deal to get done. The trade deadline will not begin until the Toronto Raptors make a move. I mean, I wrote about it because I was in the league telling you that. Like, GM saying, yeah, we're all waiting to see what Toronto was going to do. And to a certain extent, it was, is Toronto going to have a fire sale? Are they going to be aggressive in moving their guys? or are they going to sit back? And I think you started to see moves once everybody realized, no, Toronto's not, they're not going to move Ananobi. If you're not going to move Ananobi for three future first round picks, then you're really, you're putting the stakes up there. And that is the way, I mean, I think one of the reasons why the trade deadline took so long to get going is because Danny Ainge of the Utah Jazz and Masai Ujiri were the guys who were the clear sellers or potential sellers. And both of those two have a reputation for not looking for equitable deals. They're not looking for deals that serve both teams. They want a lopsided deal. Like they're only doing a deal, it seems, when it's really, really good for them and it's for the other team. And so that sets the bar a little higher. But I do believe that what Masai was doing was setting the table for moves this summer. And that's often what happens. We hear a lot of names that are thrown around or potential moves that are suggested at the trade deadline. And then depending on how the rest of the season goes, when a team's ready to do a makeover, you see those moves. So is OG Anunoby going to retire a Toronto Raptor? I'm not going to say no, but I would not be surprised. Or Fred VanVleet. Like, I could see, depending on how this season ends, the moves that we anticipated yesterday still happening.
By the way, Rick, I just got a text from James Dolan. He says, how dare you? We won all those deals we've done with Masai Ujiri, both of Masai's time in Denver and Toronto. And he says, how dare you? The interesting thing is, like, Masai is a guy that will make that move. He's been aggressive in the past, but it feels like this year he is content with the team being in that mushy middle, because if everything goes right for the Raptors for the remainder of this year, they get the 7 or the 8 seed. And to me, the best case scenario for the team is losing game 7 of the first round of the playoffs. And then it makes me wonder, is just about Masai wanting the young guys where every game they play has stakes to it?
Yeah. Well, there's certainly some of that. And Masai's not alone. It wasn't as if Masai wouldn't do a deal. It was, I'm not going to just tear down my team. I'll move Anunoby, but I think this was reported. I'll move Anunoby, and I'll move him for future picks, but I need a player who can play too. I'm not just going to auger in and fall to the bottom of the Eastern Conference. And I would say that is, among the people that I respect in the league, I think that's a smart way to go. It may be a little frustrating for fans. And by the way, can I just say, we are so spoiled as NBA fans at this point when it comes to, hey, come on, make a move, do something, entertain me. Because I was looking at like 2002, 2003, there was one of those years, there was three trades made at the trade deadline. And the other year, there was two made at the trade deadline. Like, this wasn't always the way things went. Now we've fallen in love with the juice of, well, my team's not doing as well as I thought. Let's just change it. Let's just change everything. And so I think where we are with the Raptors and with a lot of teams and why, yeah, I mean, we still had some blockbusters, but you still have this, as you said, mushy middle where we have 6-7. I mean, we're talking about the 13th place Los Angeles Lakers still potentially making the play-in, you know, still being in the playoffs. And I think that there's a lot of teams that look at, hey, it's not the season we had hoped, but we could still make the playoffs, which, to your point, we could still get experience for our young guys. We could also still get the playoff revenue. You make the playoffs and it's considered a successful season, and then we can look at trying to move around some pieces and maybe improve our chances at moving up the scale during the summer. It's still there. So you can kind of have the best of both worlds without tearing it all the way down. And look, people in Toronto are not going to want to hear this, but as someone who lives in the, you know, the lower 48, if you will, there's still a little bit of a stigma when it comes to getting the top free agents to go to Toronto.
Oh, absolutely.
To live in a foreign country, to have to, you know, every time you come home, you got to pull out the passport, et cetera. That's still an element that Masai has to work with. Now, for all those that don't tweet me, okay, I love Toronto. I love the international aspect of the city. But it's not as cold as people think it is. Minnesota's colder. I know that. But that's still an element that Masai has to work with. And so tearing it all the way down, I don't know, would be the best case scenario for the Raptors going forward. You tear it all the way down, you don't know how long it's going to take you to build it back up.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I've said it many times as well. The Raptors have a disadvantage being in Canada. And it's not a slight against Canada, our geography, our population, our temperature.
Right.
Just like the same way the Lakers have an advantage because they're in L.A. Just the history where LeBron wants to go there, even though the day before he went there, that franchise was really poorly run. So, yeah, these things just exist. And also, Rick, you're 100% right. We are greedy sports fans. We demand more trades, more news. And it's like, Durant got traded. Okay, that's great. Now give me something more. You're 100% right. NBA analyst for Fox Sports 1. We're joined by Rick Bukram. We'll go there. I was reading your analysis, and you have a bit of a pushback from people that say, oh, that's it, Phoenix, now the clear number one to come out of the West.
Yeah. I mean... I get it. You have a big name move like that, and you think, you know, in your mind's eye, oh, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, who, by the way, there was a lot of conversation. Toronto had a lot of conversation with Phoenix about bringing in DeAndre. I imagine that's probably by the boards with Poeltl, but who knows? Maybe Poeltl's the chip that makes that deal happen. I digress. I live in the Bay Area, so I've watched the Warriors up close for many years. And one of the things that has made them a championship team is not just their stars. You have to have a requisite amount of star power to win. But of late, depth has been the big difference maker. The reason the Warriors are barely 500 because they don't have the same depth. They have the same stars. The Toronto Raptors are a prime example of that in winning a championship. It was, you know, Kawhi was the star without question, but the versatility and the depth of the Toronto Raptors ended up being the difference even against a heavily star-laden team like the Golden State Warriors. And yes, the Warriors suffered injuries, but that comes with the territory. That happens when you play longer than anybody else. Is chances are you're either going to lose somebody or somebody's going to be compromised physically. And can you compensate for that? So when I look at the Phoenix Suns, I can't wait to watch them play. I think they're going to be dynamic. I think Luka and Kyrie Irving are going to be a show. But the history of Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker, I mean, right now we don't have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker on the floor. Chris Paul that expiration date is it blazed in neon right now. And so it's not just the names. And by the way, didn't we just go through this? Like, how many times did I have to hear? First it was Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris and watch out, here we come, Philadelphia, oh, it's a lock. And then James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, how are they going to be stopped? How many times did those guys go to the finals? I'm not even saying win a championship. Go to the finals. Go to the Western Conference finals. How many times did those superstar, top-heavy laden teams get there? You can do it with stars, but what they gave up in Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and the fact that Jay Crowder had been sidelined, like, that matters. Now, Like, Torrey Craig has to be a full-time starter. And DeAndre Ayton, like, you can't – he's got to play and he's got to be great. And KD and Chris and Devin all have to be great. And then you go to your bench. I mean, there's the times where those guys have to rest and you go to your bench. And now we got – no offense to these guys, but now you got Damian Lee and Landry Shamet. And that's a lot – that's a lot different. When you're talking about playing against the very best teams, when you're talking about Boston, Boston goes to the bench, and you got Derek White or Malcolm Brogdon and Robert Williams. Like, that's different. Those guys are players, and those are players with championship experience. So, I like the Phoenix did it, but do I think it immediately vaults them past Denver or the Clippers? I will say this. I think that more so than ever before, particularly in the West, like matchups, who you see when in the postseason is going to have a lot to do with who ends up coming out of the West. Because there's some teams that may not be, it's a little bit like Chicago Bulls in the East. Like Chicago Bulls can beat Boston. They can beat all these great teams. They just can't beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. It's weird.
I know. It is.
Matchups are going to determine it. So it's not, you know, it's not necessarily that there's one team that's better than everybody else. But I just, is Phoenix in the mix? Sure, I'll put them in the mix. Should they be the favorite to come out of the West? I'm going to need to see how their bench plays and their supporting cast plays and whether Kevin, Chris, and Devin can stay on the floor before I'm going to give them that.
Rick, I always appreciate, and you're right about the Nets. They had more coaches than they had playoff series wins with Durant and Kyrie and Harden and Simmons and all of that. Rick, where can people find your work?
You can find it at foxsports.com and the On the Ball podcast. You can find pretty much wherever you get podcasts. And if you can't find it, tweet me and I'll send it to you.
Nice. I love it. And you can follow the man.
Oh, and
on
I'm on FS1. I'm starting February 20th. I'll be on every day.
Nice.
4:30 to 6:00. I don't even know if you guys get FS1 up there, but.
No, we do. We do. Even in the hinterland of Canada, we find a way. And follow the man on Twitter.
People in Canada are going to kill me. They're like, we're not deprived up here, okay? I'm not saying you're deprived. I'm not saying you're deprived.
I said it. I inferred you said it. I'm the one being the jerk. Follow the man at Rick Bucher. Send him your criticisms over there. Rick, I really appreciate it. Crazy busy day yesterday, and I can't wait for the playoffs. Thank you so much for joining the show.
You and me both. Pleasure.
Take care. That is Rick Bucher from Fox Sports 1. On the other side, we'll hear from the Maple Leafs coach, Sheldon Keefe, on the status of his goalies. Leafs getting set to take on the Blue Jackets, and we'll get there next. All of the lights. The Canadian International Auto Show is returning to the Metro Toronto Convention Center February 17th to the 26th. And here is your chance to win 4 passes to the show. Get ready to text us at 10:50:50. Text the keyword auto, A-U-T-O, and your name to 10:50:50 for your chance to win 4 tickets to the show. So text the keyword auto and your name to 10:50:50. Do it right now for your chance to win those tickets. Canada's largest auto show is ready to celebrate 50 years with the return of a full range of new cars and trucks, a new layout that shows off some new players in the auto market, a new display from Lego, and more. Get all the details at autoshow.ca. It is a busy weekend of sports. We got like back-to-back Leafs. We got the Raptors tonight, obviously the Super Bowl. It looks like Luka Doncic is hoping to play with Kyrie Irving on Saturday against Sacramento. Holy Lord, that total is going to be like 250.
Oh, man.
That is going to, the total for that is going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be super high. And also, Matty, congratulations to Pascal Siakam.
Yes.
He's going to the All-Star game.
That is
as
right.
As a replacement.
And we were kind of waiting for that. But, yeah, absolutely. Him, Anthony Edwards, and De'Aaron Fox from Sacramento all expected to be named 3 All-Star reserve replacements for the game going on February 19th. So, yeah, shout out to Siakam who had a great game, his last one at 30-plus points. And a little bit later, we'll do our homer parlay because the Raptors are playing tonight and the Maple Leafs are playing tonight. Speaking of the Maple Leafs, let's hear from the head coach. Here is Sheldon Keefe talking about the status of his goalies.
Murray's dealing with an injury and making his way back, and Samsonov has played a lot for us and has played really well, and I think the break will be a good thing for him. At the same time, he's got to get right back into the same routine and get himself back up and going. And he elected to skate on his own yesterday, which is a sign just that he was eager to get back at it and all that. And then Joe Walls, you know, a guy we're really excited about. It's, you know, when the injury to Murray, it creates an opportunity for Joe to come up here. He was not healthy to come up earlier in the season when we had injuries in goal, and he comes up at a time when he should have an abundance of confidence with how he's played.
Samsonov will play tonight against Columbus, and because it's a back-to-back, Keith said that they are preparing Joseph Woll to start tomorrow in Toronto against the Blue Jackets. And I imagine, Josh, all eyes are going to be on Woll, because rightly or wrongly, I don't think anyone... It's not they won't try to get back as soon as he can. I don't think a lot of people trust Matt Murray when it comes to his health. I know Craig Button has been very vocal about it, so all eyes are going to be on what Woll looks like in net on Saturday night.
Yeah, a pretty tough situation there for Matt Murray out for the next couple of weeks right now, and going to be trusting in Joseph Woll, who in four games last year went 3-1. 275 goals against average, .911 save percentage. So, you know what, he has some... He has a little bit of experience under the belt, but it's nice to see him bolster at the NHL level. In the AHL, he's had a year so far. He only has one loss down in the AHL, just came back from the AHL All-Star Challenge, won the best goaltender over there. So the Maple Leafs are going to have a young star in the making. Leafs Lunch had Greg Moore on, head coach of the Marlies, on during the week, and he harped on him, and he said the progressive work and the development that Joseph Woll has had is a sight to see for those Maple Leafs. So in a back-to-back against Columbus, a team who firstly gives up a lot of goals on their end, so the Maple Leafs offense should and is expected to have a good game, and also... They're in a bit of a tank mode there, Matty. It's hard to be honest if you're a Columbus Blue Jackets fan, but their sights are on the draft right now. Johnny Gaudreau, Patrick Laine, Jack Rostovic, like pretty solid players for the future, but from the time being, should be a time for the Maple Leafs to kind of bolster up here.
And the Blue Jackets looking to snap a three-game losing streak. Toronto's looking to snap a three-game road losing streak, so this will be the ninth straight game started by Ilya Samsonov. We got to take a break. On the other side, we get back into the Super Bowl and then the 3 o'clock hour. Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders and Michael Lombardi, who is a former GM and a three-time Super Bowl winner, was an executive with the Patriots, will join the show. So this show is absolutely packed. So more Super Bowl coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. You will be able to hear the Super Bowl on TSN 1050. Our coverage starts at 5 o'clock. And joining me now from sportsinformationtraders.com, we got Kevin Scott on the line to chat about the big game, about the props, about some Super Sunday wagers. Kevin, as always, appreciate you doing the show today.
Thank you, guys. Well, let me just let everyone know that I have a 10 pack of props going this weekend. You can go right to my website, sportsinformationtraders.com, or give me a call at 866-441-2711 to sign up. Plus, I'm going to give you the side and total of the Super Bowl. So, gentlemen, so when it comes to these props, and you probably have to tend to agree with me that these odds makers really don't have a grip on it like they do on the side and total. In my opinion, I think they're just, you know, they make them up and they wing the odds. That's what I think. Do you agree with me? Because how could you make up a prop? There's nothing to go on.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Like on the weird stuff, the Gatorade, things like that, I don't think the numbers are off. I think sometimes with like a backup running back's rushing attempts, it might not be as sharp as, say, you know, the team totals.
So I came up with three that I'm going to give you on air, and they're, you know, two of them are plus money, and I think there's really good value. So the first one is Will the opening kickoff be a touchback? Yes, minus 155. No, plus 125. And you're going to think I'm crazy, but I spoke to a lot of people, even a lot of sharp guys and a lot of old-timers. Did you know that 70% of the Super Bowls that there has not been a touchback? And the odds makers, yeah, swear to God. And they're giving you plus 125. But when it comes to the props, guys, the most Vegas will take is a $2,000 bet because, you know, they're just winging it. They're making this stuff up, and sometimes they're getting caught. So they made this prop up this year. I've never seen it before. And a touchback has only happened 30% of the time in all Super Bowls, and you're getting plus money on a 70% bet. That's a steal.
Damn, that is a great bet. It's funny when you said that. I'm like, well, you know, will there be, you know, a touchback? I'm like, yeah, the game's all going to be touchbacks because we see how the kickoffs are. But that's not the case in the Super Bowl.
No, it's not. You know, the adrenaline is pumping and they just want to run it out. So plus 125 is a great value. My second bet is this is something where they came up with, and I think this is good value too. Over 2.5 players throwing a forward pass. So I'm going to say, if you say yes, it's plus 150. If you say no, it's minus 175. And with Kansas City and Andy Reid, you got to figure there's going to be one trick play other than Patrick Mahomes throwing it. And I'm going to take the plus 155 there. Who knows? If a quarterback gets hurt, you're automatic. Your bet wins.
And we've seen Patrick Mahomes. We don't know. I mean, he's going to be relatively healthy for this game. But the pass rush of Philly, they should be able to hit Patrick Mahomes a bunch of times. And, I mean, that high ankle sprain takes more than 2-3 weeks to heal. And you're right, Andy Reid, inventive offense. And maybe Philly goes back to the Philly special because they're back in the Super
Bowl. Exactly. And plus the fact, you know, who knows, they might do another ring around the rosy and someone else throws the ball, you know? So that's a great value bet right there. You know, these are just prop bets that I'm taking a shot with. It's plus money. And this is probably my best bet, believe it or not. It is rushing touchdown. And it's not first rushing touchdown. It's an anytime rushing touchdown. And they got Jalen Hurts here minus 125. Now, if you've been watching Philly play, they got the best quarterback sneak in the business when it comes to quarterback sneaking. So if Philly gets inside the five, let's say first and goal inside the five, you got to believe that they're going to do at least four quarterback sneaks. You're getting minus 125. That's great value here because I think it can happen. So those are the three props that I'm giving away for free besides my best 10 that are on my website. And the side in total to all your listeners, all you have to do is go to sportsinformationtraders.com or give me a call at 866-441-2711.
And again, that website is sportsinformationtraders.com. And Kevin, you got 10 other ones. I love those three that you threw out there. That was great, especially the touchback statistic. That's one that I've never seen before. I love it.
Yeah, but that's why Vegas doesn't let you bet more than $2,000 on a prop because they're just winging it when it comes to the prop because they want you to bet on everything. Because honestly, you can really, if someone went up to the counter and they saw a prop that was off, they put $100,000 or maybe $200,000, they could get hurt. So they limit to you the amount of money you get bet on props during the Super Bowl.
Well, I'll have to slum it and only do $2,000. As someone who's in sports radio, I'm doing it for the money. It's a low bet for me, but just this once.
All right.
Kevin. Kevin, really appreciate it. Again, go to sportsinformationtraders.com and check out. You can get access to Kevin's 10 Super Sunday Wagers. Again, the phone number, 866-441-2711. Kevin, enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thank you so much, and I guess I'll speak to you guys during the college basketball tournament.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Can't wait for March, man. I mean, because after the Super Bowl's done, we all get sad for a moment, and it's like, all right. And then the focus just goes on March Madness when we start actually focusing on college basketball.
Yeah, it's like all the football bettors stop, they take a little bit of a break, and they come back to the tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you guys doing any Super Bowl squares?
Yeah, I got with my friends. It's going to be just random on Sunday. $25 in, you throw it with squares you get. So, yeah, the squares will be happening.
Yep, we got that too. Well, have a good luck this Super Bowl, guys, and I'll speak to you in March.
Absolutely. Take care. That is Kevin Scott. Yeah, from sportsinformationtraders.com. Coming up on the other side, Aaron Schatz is going to join us from Football Outsiders. And from all the numbers that he does, I mean, the guy created the DVOA and the numbers and the formulas he uses that he created are used at ESPN all the time. From his numbers, just how close are these teams in terms of talent? And is it closer than we think? We will get into that next.
This hour of gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.